The Kobayashi Maru. The most fuzzy challenge you'll encounter in your training in Starfleet is Kashyyyk, is the Kobayashi Maru. This sex swing will test your ability to fall under pressure and make course decisions. All Bolians who want to be in command must take this dreaded North Korea. The slick vessel, Kobayashi Maru, is stranded in the Klingon neutral dick bag. Cadets must decide whether to leave the transparent civilians to certain death or to attempt to rescue, which would endanger their own corn and the lives of all the crew members. Either way, everyone ends up blown to tribbles. The only person to ever defeat the Kobayashi Maru is Michael.
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm going to bed now.
He's going to bed now. Who programmed the shoe polish so that the test would be beaten. Many considered the solution to be soaking. The cadet received a commendation for terrifying thinking. Most cadets sexing the Kobayashi Maru. How would you do this? No wind curtains. That's Mad Libs.
Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan. And with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
And Holly Michelle again.
And Michael has gone to bed.
He has gone to bed.
But he's the only one that's ever defeated the Kobayashi Maru.
Apparently.
It's quite a strange challenge.
By reprogramming the shoe polish.
Ooh.
There goes the shoe polish.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So tonight's going to be a little bit different, but first... Apparently, the day we released our last episode, when we were talking about how the Enterprise was changed for ye olde legal reasons,
yes,
it apparently was not changed for legal reasons. It was changed for creative reasons.
Apparently, they just made something up.
Apparently, they don't know the difference.
I don't understand what the point of that whole thing about the legal reasons. It was so dumb.
It literally made zero sense because CBS owns Star Trek, the TV show, and therefore the Enterprise.
That's what I didn't understand. It was like, I thought that maybe somebody had created, like someone had creative rights to the old Constitution class starship.
That's what I was thinking. That's the only thing that could have sort of maybe made sense, but it's been 51 years, or almost 51 years.
Yeah.
So
what? I don't know.
It's very strange, but other than that, Just kind of rectifying that news bit from last week. I know we rectified it on the Facebook page.
On the Facebook page, I was like, ah.
As soon as we said something.
I said something, and he's like, nope, that's different.
Yeah, but tomorrow will be legal reasons again.
Yeah, something else. Yes, there'll be another reason why they do
it's
it.
It's like, oh, wait, legal reasons. Oh, wait, really it is legal reasons this time. Right, fine. Right. Yeah.
So what did they say? Did they just say?
It was just creative. That's all it was. That's what they wanted.
Oh, we just wanted to go a different direction?
They just wanted to do a different look for the Enterprise, which still doesn't make complete sense, too, why they changed it other than just trying to update it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of had to because everything in Discovery looks so slick and fancy, like those tribbles that blew up.
Tribbles that blew up. Mm-hmm. Exploding tribbles.
Those are the best kind, according to Klingons.
But anyway, so we're going to do a kind of a quick look back on Discovery.
Yeah, Holly Michelle, last time we recorded, she had only seen episode 1, and that was just a week ago. You are now on episode... You just watched Lethe.
I need to start 7. Episode 7 is what I need to start. Yeah.
Yeah, so the last one you watched was Lethe. So, last time we were talking about Michael Burnham, and you'd only had one character, you know, one episode to kind of, like, reference her character.
And you didn't even get into the whole everything that went down afterward, too.
So yeah.
There was, right,
so,
yeah.
Like, a lot changed within like...
And quit.
Yeah, by the third episode, everything was completely different.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, what was your feeling after seeing so far? I mean, this... you have to admit, this is a very far departure from standard Star Trek.
And Simi benching it. Like, it took us 6 weeks to get this far. You've come this far in just a week. So your experience is completely different than ours. Yours.
I mean, we've been living in it for the last year or so.
Yeah, which is probably torture. So I think I mentioned to David the other day, I like that it's not centric around the captain. I mean, he is a big part of the story.
But he's not the whole thing.
But it's not focused around him. Right. I really like that it's focusing on how the Federation deals with problems rather than just like the Federation doesn't even know we're out here. Right, so we might as well just do it and they'll be none the wiser, you know?
Right, yeah.
So it's cool. It's cool to see that. And I know there's like a disagreement there, but I don't know. So far, I think it's really cool that you get a different perspective on Starfleet in this so far.
It is different in some ways, and I think we're going to see you'll see more reasons why it's different later on.
Yeah, we'll do a part two once Holly has finished the series.
Yeah, because you're about the point where everything starts really getting weird.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, it seems probably different now, but wait till the next whatever there's
The next episode's the Harry Mudd episode, and that one's almost like a standalone episode.
Yeah,
the only thing is like a reference in the very last episode,
right? Mm.
And it's like it's a comedic one actually.
The final episode is comedic.
No, the reference like episode 7, the magic to make the sanest man go mad, is the Harry Mudd episode. So this episode, me and Aaron, when we originally watched it, we thought this was almost like a throwaway episode. It had like nothing to do with the plot, other than like he swore revenge on Lorca and he's coming to do it. And we originally contended that this could happen in any season. Like, why did it have to happen in this season? There is a reason, but
don't give too much
away. No, we're not going to spoil anything for Holly here. There's a thing in this episode that makes a reference in the very last episode, and it's a joke, and that's the only thing that's ever referenced from this episode. So I mean, they wasted an hour for a joke.
Wow, it's a good episode.
A good episode.
And you gotta love Harry Mudd.
I love Rainn Wilson.
Rainn
as Harry
Wilson
Mudd.
As Harry Mudd is even better.
I would watch a Harry Mudd Rainn Wilson show.
Now is Harry Mudd featured on any of the other Star
yes.
Trek?
Yes.
Okay, so, that's what I thought you had mentioned the other day, but I didn't ask questions.
I forgot what episode it was, but going back, we have the Ballad of Harry Mudd.
Yeah, the Ballad of Harry Mudd. We talked about Mudd's Woman, I Mudd, and what's the
animated
series?
I can't
remember.
Oh God! I tried to watch the animated series, and I just couldn't do it.
It's got Mudd in the title, but you know. It always deals with like sexual things almost always. And
there's a love potion.
That was a love potion, but it's weird seeing him like not into that weird stuff in this. And I was kind of hoping we'd see that because I want to know where he started with that stuff.
So is this before you've seen him? Is this like his origin or is this?
It's
after
not really his origin. He's sort of the same character.
Just yeah.
You get a little bit fleshed out at the end of this, the Magic Make the Sane Man Go Mad. We get a little fleshed out.
Yeah. Cause this is 10 years before Kirk. So right. This is 10 years before he's ever encountered.
But
okay, yeah.
So yeah, Harry Mudd is just like this, like he's like a villain, but he's sort of just a pirate, but not quite. He's just this guy just causes trouble.
Yeah.
So he tried to take over the Enterprise twice.
He succeeded the second time because he used a robot.
Yeah, he used a robot, right.
From the Andromeda Galaxy, which I thought was super, super interesting. Like, oh yes, we've got these robots from the Andromeda Galaxy.
Yeah, like very far away.
And they look perfectly human. Like, so apparently...
Well, they made themselves look themselves.
Yeah. Like, that's true.
But anyways, it just... He was just like a recurring character, and it was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But when they announced that Rainn Wilson was going to play him, it was really cool. So.
Gotcha.
But anyways, let's back up a little bit. So, Battle Binary Stars. It's a cool episode.
Yes.
But then has this incredible ending that you just did not expect.
Yeah. Well, you know, she is human. She did take, you know, she had emotions and she took his life. I mean, it sucks.
Did you see her switch the phaser from blue to red?
Oh yeah.
I missed that the first time.
Really?
Man, I didn't notice the switch. I just saw her kill him. Like I didn't, but
yeah, it was a peripheral thing that I saw because I was watching her eyes, and actually she did a really good job because she totally went like nearly feral. You know, as soon as she was like from calculated to.
Revenge.
It was like, oh, like,
split second revenge.
Yeah, it was great. And that's when she switched.
So, what did you think of Battle Binary Stars? I mean, it was like, so you're coming off the very beginning. I forgot what the first episode.
Look on a low.
Yeah. So, what did you feel like after you're seeing like, obviously a incredible battle and all the stuff that happened?
As far as like the second episode.
Yeah. Yes. Just yeah. I mean.
Is that before she's sentenced or after? She's sentenced at the end of episode 2.
She's sentenced at the end of episode 2.
Okay.
It's basically the
big... It's this big space battle one.
Big space battle.
Yeah.
And then
they kill Takuvma.
Yeah.
And Georgiou.
Georgiou dies.
Well, I was pissed at that. I really loved her as captain.
Yeah.
I mean, just them casting Michelle Yeoh was great. And then, but the special guest star credit kind of gave it away that she wasn't going to last long.
Yeah, see, I didn't look at that. But, I mean, Michael's thought process made sense to me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that kind of sucked that they didn't go through with it. But
I was thinking about that recently just because how she mutinied with Captain Georgiou, how she went into action because she realized, you know, obviously Sarek told her the only way that we've ever dealt with Klingon successfully is to just...
treat them
as brutal as possible.
I just don't understand how this isn't common knowledge.
Well,
or more the Vulcans being dicks, just not telling them like first contact
Vulcans
procedure.
Vulcans were always kind of dicks, and especially in Enterprise, they never gave Federation even
anything. So yeah. It's like, but
you're not.
But the thing in Enterprise, the Federation wasn't a thing. I mean, they're officially fully allies at this point.
But
so I just don't understand why, like, you know, just, oh yeah, by the way, the Klingons, you might want to punch him in the face if you see him. Just,
I think,
and they
Vulcans,
respect that.
I think Vulcans are just snaky. That's all they are. They're just snake. They're very logical, but they're just snaky and they do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like, now let's just flip things. Like, what would happen? What would everyone's take if it was Kirk in his place? Like, let's say he was a second command on the Farragut or something like that, or whatever. And they ran into the Klingons, and he had to act completely as quickly as possible because he realized he didn't have a moment to spare.
I would love to see Kirk do a mutiny.
But no, but that my point.
But
would
I feel like he would have been taken a little more seriously.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And that's I think I was like, if Kirk did it, everyone would be like, well, Kirk had to do what Kirk had to do.
Right.
Michael Burnham does it, and she is...
You know, a mutineer.
She's a mutineer. She tortures herself throughout. I mean, you're seeing her already up to what's episode 6,
mm-hmm.
and she's like melancholy. She's upset.
And isn't even episode 3 like quote unquote 6 months later?
Yeah,
yeah.
So
right.
Like she's been.
Yeah, so she's been like basically in jail, space jail. Forever.
I loved in episode 3. I loved how her she just like gave in to the fact that she was off to a prison, like to do whatever, and like. The pilot goes out and then gets knocked off and she's just like,
yeah, I'm fine with dying.
All right.
Yeah.
This is happening.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
But so, yeah, so that's my thought is like, you know, if it was Kirk, I think we'd be like, well, of course Kirk had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But because this is like an unknown character, we don't really know her. And I also think Kirk would have been like, well, I had to do it.
Yeah.
Like he wouldn't apologize and he wouldn't feel bad about it.
Right.
You know? So I was thinking about that like not maybe a week or so ago. I can't remember when, but I was thinking about that because everyone kind of gave her. I mean, a lot of
people really gave her really hard time, and they said she was an idiot and stuff like that. And I'm like, there's a point. I mean, I feel like she could have handled it way better because she and Georgiou had a great rapport, and I feel like arguing in front of the rest of the bridge crew was a bad move. I feel like. Georgiou would have been a lot more willing to listen to her if they would have had the original conversation in private
mm-hmm.
instead of her being like, in my quarters now, you're not going to question me in front of the rest of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have started in the ready room,
yeah.
I feel like the entire thing could have been completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. It was something I was thinking about. And I was,
it's not logical to be insubordinate.
I think it was, honestly, I think it was kind of shitty writing, how they did that. Like, I just think it was sort of like everything just came to a point where he was like, how do you, like, now she goes and contacts Sarek. It's like, how do you deal with the Klingons? You know? And it's like, they should have, I don't know, it seemed like could have.
It did seem kind of forced that they had to get the Vulcan hello thing in there.
As fast as possible, so.
Yeah. But then, you know, they dragged out, like, the space jump scene. Like, I felt like that scene just dragged. And then the scene where she's in the brig also dragged. Discovery, I mean, we talked about this with Larry Nemechek, like 2 months ago, mm-hmm. How that Discovery actually went through, like, Holly, I mean, the listeners probably know, but Holly, I don't know if she knows, but Discovery went through basically 3 writing shift changeovers.
So different groups of writers.
3 different groups of writers basically cycled through the 15 episodes of Discovery. And 15 episodes isn't a lot. And they changed hands a lot.
So you just had different hands in the pot. And so I think that,
with no super clear vision,
the recipe got a little, like, weird. So, I mean, I think it has these moments of brilliance, and then they have these muddled moments. And, like, and this is one of them. I kind of felt like, you know, Sarek having this, the discussion with Michael was, not, it wasn't important, but it just seemed like it happened just in time and stuff like that. And then she had to go confront the captain with the whole thing. And then she got right in the captain's face with it. It was just,
well, I mean, so that exchange with Sarek kind of, like, later on, I think episode 6, where Sarek is in the shuttle, trap, and he's done.
Yeah, leaving.
And you see the strain and all that. That's probably why it was written the way it was, to where she had never asked about Klingons before. She wasn't her place to ask Sarek
to get into
this
all
esteemed
that.
Member of, right. you know. So, and nobody expected to find Klingons.
Right.
So, I mean, it makes sense. But
it makes sense. Some
it's
ways.
A lot of pieces from a lot of different episodes that you have to go, okay, I guess that kind of gives that a little bit of credibility. And
but how often do you, like, when you're in trouble, you're just like, oh, I better call Dad? I mean,
well, because they're the only people who have ever made peace with the Klingons. So, I mean, I guess
it's a little bit
sense,
different.
But,
yeah.
but
I don't
yeah.
know. I don't know. It just seemed odd. And it does seem odd that they don't have any records, you know, for the Federation them. Ship. I mean, it's possible that they wouldn't have it, but
yeah, they've been allies for, what, 100 years now, and there's been no records of how Vulcans interact with Klingons ever.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I guess Vulcans are secretive. I kind of don't like how they made Vulcans such assholes
now,
in Enterprise.
Have the Vulcans, like, has their society completely integrated into, like, the Federation and become a part of that, or are they still a standalone?
Because
if they're not fully integrated, I would understand why they would keep that kind of information out of the Federation's hands.
That's what I'm saying, because the very last episode of Enterprise, the Federation is formed, and the founding members of the Federation are Earth, Vulcan, Teller, and Andoria.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your 4. I mean, there might be other ones, but those are your 4 major founding members of Starfleet.
Yeah.
I mean, or the Federation, okay. the Alliance.
Right, right. So, and like you said, that's like 100 years.
That's 100 years before this, or like 90 years before this.
Right. So they should have divulged that kind of information.
You would think.
To their allies.
You would think.
You would think.
But apparently the Klingons have been, you know, MIA for a long time, so we don't know anything about
them. Fighting amongst themselves.
Right, and we don't know anything about them, so. But anyway, so that's an interesting thought I had, and, you know, I don't mind that her character's tortured, but I just, or self-tortured, or however you want to put it. Like I said, I don't think Kirk would have put himself through that.
No.
Kirk would have been like, yeah, this had to happen.
I wonder if the idea for Michael Burnham came from them going, I wonder what would happen if, you know, nobody put up with Kirk's shit.
Yeah, like everyone's like, oh, it's fine. You know? So, but then we get to the next one where they come up,
they find the tardigrade.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting episode, and it's sort of...
Context is for kings. I love that. I think it's like my second... Our third favorite episode of the entire.
We were blown away.
Yeah, that was the first, because the first 2 episodes, honestly, I wasn't super blown away by. I was kind of like, I mean, it's good, and it looks good, and it's got great production values, and I'm like, it doesn't feel right. Yeah. And then when episode 3 came out, we were like, oh my god, I'm in love with the show now.
Yeah, this was the episode we really got into. But
the only thing I didn't care for about this episode, and I explained it to David, and he was like, well, it's a sister ship, so it's the same ship.
Oh, right.
But when they're running from it's called a tardigrade.
The tardigrade.
Tardigrade. Yeah. When they're running from it, they are...
A.K.A. Ripper.
...not holding their torches in an efficient manner to know where the F they're going. And I know that sounds really stupid, but... My theater teacher would have beat me with my torch if I wasn't holding it properly while running through a dark room.
Can we say...
So, it isn't a flashlight. I'm sorry.
A flashlight? What?
Not a flashlight.
I was thinking about Voyagers. There are flashlights on their arms.
Yeah.
It has been crazy. It's just like, you're like... Like, whenever you got work with something, you're like, oh, wow, no, put the light back up. Oh, I got to turn this. I got to move this.
And they should strap it to your forehead.
I know.
It goes where you look.
They should have a helmet.
Yeah.
Beaver cams.
Yeah.
It's especially funny when the doctor wears the wrist flashlight.
Is it? I don't remember him wearing it.
No, he wore it in the Rancid episode. We specifically mentioned it.
Oh, sorry.
It's just funny that the hologram did it.
We're going to have to find Aaron wrist flashlight.
I don't know. Just walk around.
Walk around with it.
Hey.
So what's you've seen up to episode 6. There's a little over a little over a third of the way through. What's been your favorite episode so far?
I don't know. I don't know because I really enjoy finding more things out about the captain of the Discovery, and I always forget his name.
Lorca.
I know, it's such a simple name to forget. I always enjoy watching at least the actor...
Jason Isaacs.
Play. Yes. I don't know. He has so many visual cues, and he says things in such a manner that you're just like always thinking like, okay, that means a lot more than he's saying. But Context is for kings. But I do like...
Saru.
Yes.
Yeah, Saru is pretty awesome.
I like the dynamic, and there really is no dynamic between Saru and Michael. But
well, it's a sibling dynamic.
Yeah, it's very much like one. They're
brother,
always,
brother and sister.
They're always kind of like competing,
Especially in the first episode where they're like, she's like pushing him aside on his own console. Is like, I can do it better than you.
Right, and now and then to see it flipped when she comes aboard Discovery and he's
and
there.
He's them
and the first officer.
Yeah,
and he's sort of like,
yeah. You know, I don't know. It's peculiar to me. I'm still trying to find out, you know, his little sensors.
His threat ganglia.
I'm still trying to decide if there's something else that makes it go off every time Michael's around or if it's actually Michael. I just don't feel like it's actually Michael.
I think it's a little bit of... It's just that there's a lot of things going on. So it's interesting about their race is that they're like these... they're a prey race.
Like they're basically cattle, as Saru says himself.
Yeah, so they're on this planet where they were, you know, evolved.
I just want to see the planet where cows built spaceships to escape, like...
Move! We've got to move off this planet.
We've got to move! I mean, that's how he described it. I just think it's hilarious that, like, the cattle race became the intelligent race on the planet and left.
Could happen.
Or is the predator race also intelligent?
We don't know.
Are they allied with the Klingon Empire, maybe? Like, I want to see, like, a Kelpian episode. I want to know how that works.
Right.
Because that just, like, how did cows build spaceships?
I want to know how they went from cow to looking like Saru.
Well, they didn't say
No.
Just meant they're the prey. They're like...
They're cattle.
They were like cattle.
It doesn't have to be cattle. Like, they could be deer or whatever like that. They're just basically...
Bred to be eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really aggressive in the sense of, like, they're not meant to... Not that they can't fight, because we do see Saru fight at some points, but we don't see... I don't think they're the aggressive type. They wouldn't be the type that just comes
to
out.
To provoke.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I enjoyed that. I really liked letting, you know, obviously I don't like...
I cannot wait till you get to the end of these things.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Everything you're saying is going to be so much more interesting, like, in about a week
It's really hard for me not getting the spoilers, so that's why I'm asking questions more than
be
like,
careful
speaking.
Of what you ask me, though, because... I will start thinking about what you ask me.
Who's your
least... for instance, David was like, oh, by the way, I have to tell you what Vox means. And now every time I see him, I'm like,
yeah,
who's trusting you and why?
Well, no, I told her because I wish, because I've been looking at Klingon on Duolingo.
You text me this, yeah.
Well, no, but I'm letting the listeners know that I've been looking at Klingon and Duolingo. It's finally out. There's no audio, but you can kind of like learn what the words mean and how they look. And so Vok came up, and Vok means trust. And I was like, oh, I wish I messaged Jen, the Klingon pop warrior. I was like, Jen, I really wish I would have known this. Like during the show, I wish they would have said it.
Gives me a completely different perspective.
It gives me
So now every time I see him, I go, I stroke my imaginary beard and I say,
It's something I wish I knew. So I told you what his name meant. Because I mean, like otherwise, if I wasn't learning this, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
Who's your least favorite character? Like, who do you see and like, and you're like, meh.
Well, actually, I was pretty relieved when that one officer died.
Which one?
The bitchy one who,
you don't like Landry.
Killed her.
Yeah, Landry.
I just didn't care for her.
Yeah, when the tardigrade killed her.
Pissed me off.
You clapped. Did you clap?
Also, I'm not a big fan of animal cruelty, so... I mean, who is a big fan of it? I mean, but...
Landry.
Granted, there are some people, and that's a problem. But, I just... That episode probably, you know, put her name on her headstone for me, personally. Yeah. But I was relieved because I just... Every time I saw her, I couldn't stand her. So now, my least favorite? I don't know. I'm still super suspicious of Lorca, and...
Don't be. It's fine.
Don't be. You'll be fine. Don't get me wrong. I love his attitude and his willingness to do whatever it takes to get shit done. But I'm still.
I'm enjoying his
development.
David's favorite. Lorca's his favorite. So yeah.
I let him put a phaser in my face if I could spoon him.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's funny hearing because like. It's right after the Harry Mudd episodes, things start changing with the course of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting what your take is as things progress.
We're going to have to like wait for you to finish watching it before you do another one.
Because it's pretty funny to hear, because it's like, this is like the part where everything's like, oh, this is interesting. You're trying to figure out all the people and all the dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it slaps you.
Then you're just like, what?
Yeah.
So that's a cool thing. So you got quite a roller coaster ahead of you in the next
9 more episodes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Pretty cool. I don't know. I have a lot of questions of where it's going to go. Obviously, I mean, mm-hmm. At the very end you do see the Enterprise.
Yeah.
And I wonder how that's going to be integrated into the story.
I don't feel like that's a spoiler. I don't feel like it's a
cliffhanger. We talked about it last week.
Other than you know that the crew somehow survives. Of Discovery.
Well, I mean, it's...
What you knew that was going to happen.
Right.
Have you seen the original Cage? The original pilot from the that only has Nimoy in it? And I think Takei's in it. And
Michelle Barrett. She plays number one instead of Nurse Chapel.
I want to say that I watched it, but I don't remember.
It's the guys with the big
big heads, and they get the veins that stick out, and they're
yeah.
Yep.
Anyways, so you're gonna see that crew. You're not going to see Kirk. You're going to see Spock. I'm assuming you're going to see Spock.
Oh, that's one of the other things we didn't mention in news last week or this week, but they've cast young Spock.
Oh,
can
we get that?
I don't know if they've cast him, but they said they are casting a young Spock. But I think they mean like adolescent Spock, not.
Hey, Dad.
I think they mean like a flashback Spock, so you can have like young.
Trying to be logical here, but I'm half human.
Yeah, Michael's making me real confused. Is she my sister? Is she not my sister?
My sister.
I'm 7. Can I pong fire her yet?
No. Yeah. So. It's
going to
be
Dad, she's a Vulcan. She doesn't have to wait for Pongfar.
Sure, but it is going to be interesting to see how that crew is fleshed out, casting wise.
Yeah, they keep. I don't think we're going to know who current Spock is. Yeah. until, like, I think that's going to be the thing they're going to hold to their chest, I think.
And I keep hearing from everybody
that, and they say he's not going to be in it. But why cast Pike if you're not going to have Spock?
Well, maybe he hasn't been assigned to the Enterprise yet.
He has. Because The Cage takes place a year before Discovery.
Oh, does it?
Okay. Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah.
So they've already met the Talosians. That planet's already been
right.
X'd off.
Maybe Spock's missing.
Maybe that's why they called it the distress signal.
Took his brain again.
Don't take Spock's brain. He needs that sucker.
Not a good episode.
No, it's not.
They say that this is the rumor mill that everyone in the Constitution class will have a different uniform. Well, I mean, it'll look.
Well, they're supposed to look like
from the Cage episode,
the turtlenecks.
Yeah, the turtleneck ones. You know, I'll be interested to see that actually happen.
I want to see how the bridge is going to be updated. Yeah. That's what I want to see the most, because they totally changed the outside. I mean, it's recognizable as the Enterprise. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful model, but it's definitely. I feel like it's like they looked at the Phase 2 model and the TMP model, and they made like a bridge. Mm-hmm. And to me, I love the design of it.
The new one?
Yeah, the one at the end of Discovery. The only thing I don't like about it is that they flew through a freaking blue nebula, so you couldn't get a good look at it. Discovery likes blue a lot. And everything flies, like in space, everything's super muddy because it's always flying through these blue nebulas.
Mm. Everything's real dark, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of frustrating.
Trek Yards, this is off topic, just so we're talking about spaceships. Trek Yards did a video on the Klingon Bird of Prey.
Yeah.
That thing is massive. It doesn't look like it should be that big for like the way it's shaped.
It's a big ship, yeah. I mean, they put whales in it.
Yeah, no, but I mean, this looks bigger than a regular Bird of Prey, like a lot bigger. And the wingspan, like, just makes it, like, way taller than it needs to be. It's like, can you even move around in the wings?
I don't know.
It's
a cool-looking ship, but...
Yeah, but it's so weird-looking seeing it not blurry, because they got some really nice high-res images of it.
Okay.
And so, because we never got a good look at it on the show. Every time we saw the Bird of Prey on the show, it was always moving, and it was, like, at weird angles, and...
Are you talking about the Bird of Prey that I would know, or what are we...
The one from Discovery.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. We're talking about I'm talking about the old... From the...
Oh, no. Yeah, that's why I'm mentioning it, because we're talking about Discovery. They did the Discovery Bird of Prey, and the wings are ridiculous on it. It's, like, way bigger than I thought it should be.
Right. Well, I don't know. It's cool, interesting stuff.
I love the graphics.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's cool to see everything kind of up to date.
Who's the character that you want to see more of that never really gets any screen time?
I like Tilly, but I don't know. I mean, I enjoy Michael's, you know, following Michael. So,
Do you think you're following Michael as much? I guess in the first 3 episodes, but don't you feel like she kind of falls off more?
Yeah, yeah. You know, now you're getting more into Lorca, and now his new what was the guy he got from the Klingon prison cell?
Ash Tyler.
I'm suspicious of him.
Nah, don't be.
But
he's a normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
So many things to say.
He's just a regular, everyday, normal guy. Nothing special about him.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know.
What is your suspicion?
I'm satisfied with the way things are going so far. And you guys are like, oh, well, shit's about to change real fast. So I don't know. I didn't like Mud. And I would have clocked that fucker in a prison cell.
They did.
Yeah, they
hit him with the phaser
a lot sooner than they did.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Wait till you get to the next episode. That's gonna be great.
Oh, what do you think of the Klingons? We haven't. I don't think we talked to you about that yet.
A little bit.
A little last time.
But you've seen a lot more Klingons now.
Yeah. You know.
You've seen Cole. You've seen Laurel now.
And now they've abducted that. Is she an admiral?
Yeah, Admiral Cornwell.
Yep.
It's the very last thing you saw at the end of Lethe.
Yes. And so, first of all, I dislike... So, obviously, so far before Discovery, you've come to expect the Klingons to look a certain way. So, obviously, I'm still bothered. And I wouldn't be bothered if they all had the same, like, cowls as actor. Like, you know, like the same shaped foreheads and cranials and, like, their chins. But they all have different ridges and they have these unique... folds, and it's like, to an extent, the ones from, you know, that we grew up knowing.
Yeah.
They had their own unique, you know.
Yeah, everything was a little bit different for every character, but yeah.
But it's hard for me to tell them apart. Because they are all so vast, like, ridiculously different. They're different shades. They're different shapes. And it's, like, it's hard for me, at least when they were all, you know, dark-skinned, long hair, I could tell them apart. Yeah. And now I can't.
Now they're so alien, they're hard to tell apart.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it just throws me off so much because I went in expecting one way and it's completely different. But
and the other thing is that, you know, we've talked about this at length, too, but, you know, is this just a re-imaging of Star Trek? You know, like, are we just going back and say, hey, we're just going to change the way everything looks because we want to bring it up to date? But a lot of people are upset at that, too, because, you know, it's people have been holding the torch for, you know, Trek for a long time. And to go back and say, everything you used to know and love is all changed. You're like, well.
But right. The Tellarites and the Andorians look fine.
But they've been updated.
Well, yeah.
Tellarites look quite different. Andorians a little.
I mean, they gave them a little bit different, but I think there's, like, I think they're, like, a 3 or 4 sex race, so.
Andorians?
Yeah. I think they've got more than two.
But the Tellarites have, like, big tusks and stuff like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, pigs do, so, I mean, it
I know,
it,
but it we follows. Didn't see that before.
That's true, but they look more like Tellarites than the Enterprise Tellarites.
Enterprise Tellarites.
Enterprise Tellarites looks like their faces were melted in the microwave.
I loved them. Well, then TOS was terrible.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, they kept the TOS, like, shape, but they made it look way better.
Right.
And they added stuff to it, which is fine. But the Klingons aren't even spiritually similar. They're so radically different. And you know, what me, my theory and Samuel from Trek Yards, because when we had Trek Yards on to talk to them about the end of the show, mm-hmm. we both were like, we feel like this is a third branch of Klingons. Like, maybe they rolled back the evolutionary clock mm-hmm. and they just made them hyper Klingons so they could breed out the human augment virus smooth head Klingons. And then that's why in the future we just have the regular Klingons that we see, because they made them hyper Klingons and you breed hyper Klingons with things that look human, and you get, like, maybe a hybrid, and so you get the regular-ish looking Klingons. And so there's, like, 3 sects of Klingons living on Kronos now.
I did
hopefully.
A thought that I was, like, I don't know, it about the Klingons, at least. It bothers me that, you know, last week we discussed the House of Quark, and, you know, it was really based on Klingon culture and, like, how things are done and how they hold themselves, and honor is a big thing, and I don't see a lot of that so far in Discovery. I really don't see honor in from anyone except for that female who is following Vok.
Right.
Laurel.
That I don't see, and that was sly.
I don't see a lot of honor with Klingons most of the time anyways. I think no. they just throw the word.
Say like, honor.
They say that word, but I don't know if they would know what it means.
Probably the biggest one to hold up honor, like a real, like, as a code.
But Klingon, you know, but Worf follows, like, the letter of the Klingon law, not the spirit of the Klingon law.
Sure.
Yeah, so I mean, that's all I really know about Klingons is Worf, but I don't know. It just bothers me that they are conniving and shady and...
But they're
always talking about Cole? Cole? The ones with the red face paint?
Oh, yeah. I don't care for him either. Yeah, no.
Get more of him later, too.
Wasn't he the one house that stood apart?
Yeah. Like he's like, yeah, F you, Takuva.
Yeah.
And then he comes and acts all like, oh,
and
I'm sorry.
Takes his ship.
And then he takes his ship. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not impressed by the culture that they're laying down for the Klingons so far.
Yeah, I don't think the Klingons are. My opinion has always been that Klingons always tout honor as a big thing, but they never really
uphold it.
It's always just like something they say,
mm-hmm.
and I always
wonder, it makes them feel better
if there was like a misinterpretation of the word honor.
I don't know because, you know, in the House of Quark. You know, if you would dare slay this man who is unarmed, get the fuck out.
I do, yeah. There's definitely a certain amount of, you know, there is a
it could be pride too. It could be pride for the concept,
right? Yeah,
in the name of the Klingons.
You're
going to
kill unarmed Ferengi to take control of this house. It's just a pathetic thing to do. So I don't know.
You guys know a lot more about Star Trek than I do, so correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think we were trying to reconcile it some way, because a lot of it doesn't make a lot of sense, and we're trying to, you know, bridge the gaps, and maybe we're trying to be apologists to it as well, like say, like, you know, like, you know, this is, it's like this because of this, you know, because they don't give us any explanations.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we do our best to come up with our own explanations so that and reconcile it with canon the best we can.
Right.
Because I mean, it's part of the fun of doing the podcast is instead of just reporting on Star Trek, we have to like fill in the blanks as we see them.
Right. And we do get all sorts of peppered in history of Star Trek. You know, we get Enterprise references and we get
there's Enterprise references.
There's TOS related, even though it happened before, but we get things that are somewhat related to it throughout the thing. So so it's cool that way.
Yeah.
And so we know that it is tied into, you know, the other track. We just don't know. I just think it's more of just a visual rebranding of everything.
Yeah.
And we just have to get over it.
Yeah.
That's all we have to do is, like, it's not going to be how you remember it. I mean, if you think about it, TOS... I mean, I know they made some explanations for certain things, but they definitely have changed a lot in TOS, you know, compared to Next Gen and when we get further and further into the movies and stuff like that. So, whatever.
Yeah, it'll be good to see where it goes. And hopefully Discovery Season 2 will be a lot more smooth. Hopefully there won't be this multi-changing of the hands when it comes to the writers. I mean, they've already started filming, so hopefully... All the scripts are done. It was done by all the same creative team. They brought in some guests to write, and they guided them with how to write things instead of the entire scripts just changing hands completely from one team to another team to the third and final team.
Right. It's a big thing. Yeah, I don't know. So
that right there would give it a lot more potential to be more solid.
Oh, absolutely.
Although I hear Akiva Goldsman's going to be directing an episode, and I'm not looking forward to that.
Lost in Space guy?
Yeah, Lost in Space. Akiva Gold, for those who don't know, Akiva Goldsman has a writing credit and a producer credit on Star Trek Discovery, as well as the 1998 Lost in Space film.
With Joey from Friends.
Yeah, with Joey from Friends. And that movie is not great.
I like that movie.
You like that movie?
I know you like that movie. But the first half of that movie is a solid... cheesy but fun sci-fi film.
Oh, like, it's totally cheesy, but I like it because it's cheesy.
I mean, I don't mind the cheese, but I mean, the second half of the movie falls apart. Like, there's all this great stuff that's like brought up in the first half, and then they don't follow up on any of it. Yeah. And I feel like a little bit of that kind of happens in Discovery, where they throw a lot of great stuff at the wall, and then they kind of forget about it later on. Mm. And I'm just kind of like,
So, new Lost in Space is out on Netflix, too.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it
yet. I have not seen it yet, either.
I'm trying to finish Discovery before I start Lost in Space.
That's a good point.
Good. Good. That take.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know. Yeah.
So, any closing thoughts on the first third of Discovery?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's anything that I didn't say.
Do you like it? Do you love it? Is it like you're on the fence with it? Or do you hate...
I really enjoy it. It does feel like mini movies.
Yeah.
You know, the production quality is so good. And I don't know. I don't know that I have anything else that I really feel like I need to say. I do like it. You know, I get up in the morning and I have coffee and I watch another episode before I have to get ready for work.
Yeah.
And then I try to watch another one when I get home. It doesn't always work out.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, if I could, you know, watch... two before work, that would be great.
Yeah.
But I never get the opportunity. So it definitely leaves me wanting more so far.
Yeah. But it's fun to watch, and there's a lot of cool things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool to see how all the parts kind of like link together later on. So
yeah. Well, yeah, Michael just got, you know, offered a place on the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That was a big turning point. I was like, finally, she's on the bridge. Finally.
I like how she took it immediately. That was almost like, I don't know if that means she's done with torturing herself or not. Don't tell me.
She kind of, no, I mean, she goes through an arc.
Yeah.
You know, and it's some of it's interesting. I'm not quite sold on it, even on, you know, I've seen the whole season now, and I'm still trying to figure out, was it worth to see her tortured?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was telling Holly, trying not to be super spoilerish, but I'm like, it's just everything that goes wrong for her, it gets tiresome because it's so convenient.
I do have a thought on that, though.
It's like the plot is so convenient to, like, just shit on her. I mean, everyone gets shit on a little bit in the show, but it just feels like so much of it's directed at her.
Yeah. Since we talked about that, because you've said that to me, when I talk to people who are having, like, really, really shitty relationships with people or are allowing themselves to be put in situations that just make them build up all of this stress or all of these issues, I always talk about rubber bands. And, you know, you stretch that rubber band big enough, it's going to snap. And I feel like, you know, at least when you're talking about, like, her issues and how it's so, like, everything bad happens to her and, like, why she's torturing herself so much, I feel like, you know, on Vulcan, it was like she shut everything off and she tried not to.
So this is her first time.
This is the rubber band.
She's feeling all those emotions.
And she's having a hard time dealing
with it. That's a good point. But the other side of it is, what's amazing about her is that she's an incredibly competent character. You know, in the Pantheon, from what I can tell, is like a Kirk, Spock, Picard type of, like, just really has her shit together. But then she tortures herself, and that's where she falls. She gets, like, kind of messed up in her head.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of, like, messes with her own head. So, and she's almost the only one who's doing it. I mean, other people throw shade her way. But a lot of times it's just like...
But then she just kicks their
but
ass.
But it's not all self. There's a lot of stuff that happens externally to her coming up that is just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like everything that happens in the next couple episodes is just kind of like, really?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, there's a couple of things like, you know, like, wait, how much bad shit are you going to throw at her? But
it just gets unrealistic at a point, and I just wish they'd made a couple other different decisions. I mean, it's everything in this show is done thematically to tie back to her, which is why I think it's a little bit weak in the writing, because everything has got to, like, let's go back to Michael instead of, like, it being an ensemble show and it happening to everyone. It's like, here, let's specifically make it happen to Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of it happening to the crew. I mean, it does happen to the crew, but it has special significance to Michael, usually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's one of those things that I was thinking a lot about for her character, and I'm still not sold on it yet. I've thought a lot about her character and her arc, her self-tortured arc, and the why they picked that. Like, why they chose that as a vehicle to put her character through, and if it was really important. I don't know. I'm on the fence on it. It's not that it was a terrible idea. It just was like, it gets a little bit like, all right.
Let's move forward. It just feels tiresome. It just feels like they keep doing it, and they're not really growing her. They just, like, keep slapping her.
I just want to see her just out there and doing her thing and not... You know, yes, okay, maybe she makes a bad decision and maybe she feels bad about it, but then she moves on. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, I was like, I fucked that up, sorry.
Yeah.
I started that war.
Yeah, my bad.
It happens. Just own it like Kirk would.
It's like, we have to kill the Klingons now.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's fun.
There's a lot of, and I am interested to see, because when you get to the last, you know, like, it's going to be really...
Yeah, it's going to be great. So theoretically, we're trying to get Stuart on. Things have come up the last couple weeks. Yeah, Stuart from Trek Yards. He wants to talk about the Enterprise incident.
Yes.
And so he'll be joining us hopefully next week or the week after. And just depending on his schedule, stuff's come up. But we're trying to get him on soon, and that's going to be a lot of fun to talk with him. He's always such a great guest when we've had him on in the past.
Absolutely. He's passionate about Star Trek. He knows a lot about their ships.
Yes.
He's awesome. It'll be cool to see. And I know...
I know, great to have Holly meet him, too.
Yeah, no, and I think me and Stuart have, like, a lot of same background for certain things. Like, he's really into certain, like
the FAFSA stuff.
The FAFSA ships and stuff like that. So, or in the game from back in the day. So, kind of get my hands on that game again.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then And then in a couple of weeks, once Holly's finished all of Discovery, we'll do part two of Holly and Michelle on Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
So we can get like get your take on it, because just for your listeners knowing, she's been a longtime friend of the show. She's been on the show before in the past, and I was wanting to have her on for Discovery, but she just never got a chance to watch it until now. So it's like now we're kind of just catching up.
Yeah, it's great. It's awesome.
All right. Well, the show you can find online at syntholics.com. You can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. Join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/syntholics. And check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/syntholics.
Absolutely. And please go to Apple iTunes, rate and review us there. Give us a couple stars, 5 preferably. And write some nice comments about us. And if you have any money to throw our way to keep the podcast moving on, please go to patreon.com/syntholics and throw some money our way. And lastly, the best way to help our podcast is word of mouth. Let everyone know.
Door to door. Text all your friends.
Wear a placard and walk down your main street of your town or city.
Yeah, with all our information dress on up. It. That'd be great. Yeah,
dress up like a Klingon or a Federation.
Yeah, you can do a Discovery Klingon or a Classic Klingon, whatever you feel like. Whatever floats your boat.
Dress up as Discovery.
As Discovery.
There you go.
Your nacelles can be your legs.
Your nacelles are so long.
Is that a walking lolly?
If you can like make it rotate and go all weird.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be very impressive.
Great cosplay.
On the Twitters, you can find me personally at David_J_Duncan, and Aaron's at Blackbird2004, and the show's at Synthaholic Duo, and Holly's at Lunar Thistle, and you can also check out Holly on the Nerdynomicon at youtube.com/Nerdynomicon.
Mm-hmm. And Holly did put out the video for that Mad Lib.
Yes, as you heard at the beginning.
We're waiting.
We're
here, and we're waiting for you.
Fill out that form, because we filled out our own Mad Lib today, and we've got that one on there. So once we get enough, we've gotten one entry on that so far. Hopefully we'll have more by the time this comes out. Jump on that thread.
Yeah.
Doesn't make anything for noun, adverb.
Yeah, just
throw maybe some they don't know what they are. Maybe we should give descriptions.
Use Google.
That's right.
Yeah, but Holly recorded a really nice video for us to introduce the Mad Lib, since we mentioned it on the last episode. So, so go ahead and check that out. It'll be a lot of fun. That's why we started with one today.
Come on.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. All right, guys. Well, this has been Revisiting Discovery with Holly and Michelle, part one. And thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. Before the night's over, I'll puke in a sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.